Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to My Faith Radio. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. We've got another great show for you today. I'm really excited. This first half hour, I have a very special guest. Guess who it is? It's you. I'm going to be talking to you today for this first half hour about four seasons every serious Christ follower walks through, especially in preparation for the call of God in their life. And I've got five copies of my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, from my very generous publisher, Bethany House, and this book is all about that internal process that we go through as we walk out the call of God in our life. And so often it's, you know, self-ambition that gets us ahead of God and self-preservation that makes us lag behind and fall back in fear. And yet God wants to sort through all of our self stuff so that we can walk boldly into that next place of promise he has for us. So in this next half hour, I'm going to be unpacking these four seasons. And at any time, if you relate or if you've got a question, I want you to call, because five of you are going to get a copy of Your Beautiful Purpose. This is just for this first half hour. This is when you got to call between now and the bottom of the hour. The second half hour of today's show, you're going to hear my conversation with Jenny Allen. She's coming into the Twin Cities for a conference coming up in a week or so. And we talked really a little bit more about the preparation and getting free from the fear of man. Such a big, big roadblock to so many to walking out God's purposes. And then hour two, I'll have my good friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley on the show to talk about how to fight for your marriage when your spouse is actually fighting you. And so, as I said, two great hours up ahead. Okay, I'm going to give you just a quick synopsis of these four seasons, and I want you to call me and tell me which season are you in. And if you're too shy to get on the air, that's really okay. I'd love to hear from you, chat with you a bit, but if that's too much for you, call, talk to Grace, and she'll put whatever she can on the board. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. So these are four seasons that I've identified that I walk through in my own life. And some of these seasons you can kind of be in at two at the same time in different areas of your life. Run, the season of running. Okay, that's the season to take ground. And this is a season of life when it seems that there's great favor on your life, that there's actually more work to do than time to do it. But it's not out of a striving place. It's not of just overcommitment, running yourself ragged. It just seems that it's a time of favor where there's just an abundance of grace, and even an abundance of a grace before you to accomplish the work, but also an abundance in your work. And this is what's so interesting about each of these seasons, is there are things to remember, things we should know, and cautions to be careful of, because obedience looks different in each of these seasons of life. So the season of running is a time of great abundance, great favor, and there are cautionary words, and I'll get to those in just a moment. The season of rest, and this is a time of waiting. This is a time to pull back. Now, some would think the season of rest is, you know, I'm just in a season of peace, but it's not that. This rest, that's the end goal, but we tend to arrive in the season of rest either kicking and screaming because we've been pruned, where we are flourishing and it seems like we're thrust suddenly into a place of obscurity. Maybe it's a job loss or ministry role change, sickness or something, where once one moment you thought, I'm out on the dance floor having a great time with God and we're twirling around and this is awesome, and then the lights go out and you feel like, what just happened here? So many arrive in this season of rest disillusioned, brokenhearted, and they didn't choose this thing. Others show up kind of dead on arrival, where burnout has taken them there. But what happens in that time of rest is replenishment. It's where you get healed. It's where your dreams are purified and your motives purified. And we'll dig into that a little bit more too. But most people who arrive in rest season don't want to be there, right? But it is a place when you come through it, you won't trade it. The third season is that season to stand. And this is when it feels like the furies of hell are aimed against you. And really, the only way to gain ground is to hold your ground. It's not to lose ground, because it seems like the storms are raging and you've got to hold on to what you know is true. It's a time of great testing. And then the fourth season is a season of active waiting. And after I wrote the book, the purpose book, I determined and decided that any serious Christ follower is always in some degree in this season of active waiting. What this means and what it looks like from the outside looking in is sort of business as usual. To the outside world, you look like you got plenty going on and you are a serious Christ follower. But there are internal desires in your heart, internal groans. You know, it's like, I long to see this. I'm waiting for this. And you might have a heartbreak associated with that waiting period. You might just have the deepest unfulfilled desire, and you almost cry out on the inside, and only people closest to you know that. But people on the outside just see you, you know, healthy, strong. You're working, you're doing your thing, you're stewarding the land God has given you. Well, there are cautionary words for you in that active season where you're stewarding what God has given you, but you're believing for what God has promised you. That's active waiting. So run, rest, stand, active waiting. Any of those relate to you? And if so, where are you now? What season are you in right now? Okay, I have 5 copies of my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, Discovering and Enjoying What God Can Do Through You. And I will say this, to the first person who calls and gets on the air, you not only get a copy of the book from my publisher, I'll throw in the DVD that goes with it. Those will come from 2 separate addresses, but I will, I want you to have that because then you can do a study on your own or with friends. But I want to know, what season are you in? 877-933-2484. And the first person to get on the air will also get a DVD. And I will tell you, the DVD is like $30. So, hey, that's a really nice gift, don't you think? Okay, the season of running. This is a season, as I said, is that it's a season of favor. It's a season where it seems the wind is in our back. And this is the important thing here in this time of running, is that we have to take ground. On the good days, when I was in fitness, we would use that analogy, take ground on the good days. So when someone would show up and say, I don't know why, but I'm feeling good today, we would say, okay, run farther, faster, lift heavier weights, whatever you can do to take ground on the good days, do, because you're also going to have days where you show up and you don't feel like doing anything. And in order not to lose ground on those days, you got to gain ground on the good days. Well, the same is true. The same principle applies in these spiritual seasons of favor where you take ground. This is a time to make hay. You know what I mean? This is a time to go forward and trust God. And so let me talk to you about some of the temptations that you may encounter during that run season. The temptation is to dawdle and get distracted and enjoy that wind in your back and totally missing the point of the season. It may just feel easier, and so you might start going on cruise control going, oh, finally things don't feel so hard. The call of God in that run season is to make hay. It's to take ground and take every moment and make it work. Are we ready for call number one? Let's take call number one here. Virginia's checking in from Esco. How are you, Virginia?
I'm fine.
Good to talk with you today. What season would you say that you're in?
Well, I don't feel like I'm in any of those 4 seasons. I'm in a season when I don't seem to be needed anymore. Mm. I've had a very active career, and I've been very busy, and I have 5 children, and 4 of them have serious health problems, and I can't do anything about anything, and I feel lost.
Mm. And you know what, Virginia, when you hear me get to the season of rest, after the book was published, I wished I would have named it something different because, as I said, rest, learning to rest in the Lord is the end goal of that season. That's why I named it that way. But I would say that's the season you're in, because really another name for that season is a season of obscurity where you feel missed and overlooked and set aside. And what's really true is you're not, that you, God sees you, he is with you, and he will give rest to your soul, and he will teach you how to rest. And this is the place where we learn on a deeper level that our identity comes not from what we do, but from who we are to Jesus. And Father, I just pray for Virginia that you would bless her, that you would heal her, that in this place where she feels like she's not needed, which is just a lie, that she would find her rest in you, God, that she would know how valuable that you, she is to you. I pray that she would come out of this season leaning on her arm, on the arm of her beloved, and she would know more and more, identify herself as someone you love. And that is the goal. I pray you help her to find her rest in you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Virginia.
Thank you.
Mm, bless you. All right, Lois is checking in from Solon Springs?
Hi, Solon Springs.
How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. Tell me, do you identify with any or a few of the seasons?
I do. I identify with the rest and the active one. I can't remember the total thing of it now. My husband and I worked in Christian camping for the last 20 years, and 2 years ago I was injured, and that took me out of my position there. And that's been, it's been a difficult time for me to step back. And I mean, I knew the Lord was in control, but I wasn't in control anymore, and that was hard.
Yeah.
And I see myself in both of those, because right now I'm still dealing with the workman's comp and, you know, waiting to be released to go back to work if I'm able. So, yeah.
Oh, it's so hard, Lois, and I'm so glad you're getting a copy of this book, because in these times of transition, again, when you feel put out to pasture, it's exactly where dreams are born. It's where God starts to do new things, where he heals wounds in our soul that we don't even know are there. And I'm going to actually give you a copy of the DVD, too, because I just feel like it's so important for where you're at right now. So, Lois, I want to thank you for calling, and And Lord, I just pray for Lois. I ask you to heal her. I ask you to give her fresh vision in this place. I ask you to use this place to restore and replenish her and give her just a sense of where you're taking her next. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
God bless you, Lois. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Okay, we've got Carolyn calling from Toledo. Is that Ohio? Is there a Toledo in the Midwest?
Yes, there is, in Iowa.
Okay, great, Carolyn. So nice to meet you. So tell me what season you are in right now.
Well, I can identify a little bit with what I heard Lois just explain, only my circumstances are different. Last year, I became an empty nester. My husband and I, our fourth child, graduated, and I finished 18 years of homeschooling.
Wow.
And thought, wow, this is going to be an exciting adventure. And then within a couple weeks, I became a care provider for my mom, who experienced a pretty serious stroke. So a lot of things change very quickly, and I have been the last year just kind of asking God what's going on, and he has been very, very precious and patient with me and is teaching me a lot. And I just love listening to your program, and I learn so much, and I think this topic that you're talking about, I can really identify with, and I see God working, even though it's been hard.
Well, Carolyn, he sees you, and he loves you, and to me, that's the most unsung hero kind of service, is that behind the scenes of giving of yourself. First, you give of yourself to your kids for those 18 years, and now this. I just pray that God would surprise you with certain bouquets of flowers and just times of replenishment, and I'm super glad you're getting this book. Again, I just think the season is exactly where I believe God has new things for you that he wants to show you. So really grateful you're listening
thank
today.
You.
Yes. Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Susie. Thank you for your ministry.
Indeed. Bless you. Clement and Pam, I so want to talk with you. We have to take a really short break. If you can hold for 1 minute, I want to come back to you as well. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I think you're listening by divine appointment today, and I'm actually super surprised. I had a half hour here to go over these four seasons that really apply to every serious Christ follower. We weave in and out of these seasons. Sometimes we're going through two seasons at once. I identified these in my book, Your Beautiful Purpose. My publisher was kind enough to offer 5 copies, but I want to get a copy to everybody who calls in this half hour. So I would love to know what season you identify with. 877-933-2484. Before I take Clement, I just want to give you a quick rundown. So the season of run is that season of favor. It's a season of abundance. This is not to be confused with the season of striving and overcommitment, running yourself ragged. But it is a season where God seems to have blessed the work of your hands, and you seem to have more work than you can handle, but there's a grace in it. And there are certain cautions, things to watch out for, but that's a time of favor, and the whole goal is to make hay, to run far, and to do what you can during that season. The season of rest, it doesn't feel restful. That's the end goal, but it's a season where either you're thrust into obscurity by no choice of your own, because a job ended, something changed in your life season, or you arrived dead on arrival because you were so burnt out you have no other choice. That's the season of rest. That's a time of waiting on God, and it can be a time of disillusionment where you can get offended with God, but there's a beautiful goal in that place. The season to stand is when the storms are raging against you. It's a time of testing, and forward movement means that you don't lose ground. To gain ground is not to lose ground. You put a flag in the ground and say, I'm not moving from this place. When these storms are over, I will still be standing, and then you will be thrust forward farther than you can imagine. And then the fourth season is active waiting, and that's a season where you look like business as usual on the outside, but there's a deep groaning on the inside. You're stewarding some of the things God has promised you, but you have deep, long desires, longing desires in your heart. Do you identify with one or more of these seasons? I'd love to hear. 877-933-2484. Clement has been waiting from Sioux Falls calling in. Thank you for holding, by the way. Thank you for that.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me what season you identify with.
Yes, I think that it's probably a combination of a couple. I would probably be more associated with the season of rest in some ways. We, 2 years ago, had a call from my husband's older brother to take his son, who was 7 at the time, and his parents were struggling with some addiction issues and have been for some time. And so we had 5 minutes to decide, and of course, that's what you do for family, you step up. And so we did take on this 7-year-old, and at the same time, our elementary child was just entering was in middle school at the time. So you start thinking, okay, you know, life is kind of moving on smoothly here, and then it's disrupted. And just recently, this child's father passed away suddenly and had actually been doing pretty well considering, and we had thought and anticipated that he would be going home probably this fall sometime or winter time. And so I have some mixed emotions, and I too lost my mom at 12. And so we work to, at this time, it's been a very difficult time for him, for my in-laws, for my mother-in-law, and at the same time, this child has taken on these struggles in school because he just recently lost his dad, of course.
I have to jump in because we've got about 6 more calls waiting, and I want to pray for you before we hang up, but that is a season of running, and it probably doesn't feel like – it feels like a combination of running and a season of storm, of testing, where you have to learn to stand. And so, Father, I do pray for Clement that you show her what promises you've given her. I pray that there be some flag-in-the-ground moments where she knows that you are hers and she is yours and her promises are yours. And I just say thank you, God, for the promises you've made her. And I pray for exit ramps where you've called her to rest, and you'd show her what that looks like, Lord, and you'd continue to guide and guard her, help her not to take on one more thing than you're asking of her. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, Clement, thank you. You'll get a copy of the book, and God bless you in this season. My goodness. Okay, Keith, we're going to grab that call from Minnesota. I'm not sure which city, but I'm glad he's calling today. How are you today, Keith?
I'm good. The season I'm in is actually, a storm. I've been married for 17 years, and last week my wife finally did file for divorce. I'm struggling. There is a lot of issues in the marriage. I sat there and sometimes, wished that, things would fall apart and be healthier. Now that it kind of did fall apart. Now I'm second guessing a lot of stuff. It's just one of these things where, I look at people that are hurting. I love my wife, but I know she's hurting. It just seems like there's a lot of hurt around in this world. I have 3 sisters. Unfortunately, all 3 of my sisters are divorced. And I feel bad for my parents. I just pray about being strong. I pray about, doing the right thing. I look at my kids, trying to figure out how to, give them hope in the future, even if, I don't know what the future holds, none of us do, but, if they eventually decide to have a godly spouse in their life, that that they can have hope that, that their marriage won't fall apart.
Keith, let me ask you, do you still want this marriage to work out? Do you have any fight in you left?
Yeah, I'm not a quitter. I've never been a quitter. I mean, I pray about it. I went on prayer works today, sent a thing. I did send an email. I know I just don't want to pressure my wife, but, I said there, a couple days ago when I was riding my truck, I heard something on the radio about Marriage Institute. I just said, hey, I heard about this Marriage Institute thing. It's about broken marriages like ours. I just thought I'd let you know about it. I don't want to pressure her because I don't think that's going to help.
No. Let me tell you this, Keith.
Yeah, again, I'm actually, I work with kids, and I work with a lot of kids with broken families and stuff like that. And I've never, for the most part, 99% of the time, it's never been really good. I'm sure there's some families who have some dynamics that are extremely unhealthy, what I'm saying? But
yeah, I'm going to jump in.
Yeah, I know. I'm blessed. I got a support network. I have wonderful family. Again, my wife's a wonderful person. Like I said, I wouldn't have married her if she wasn't.
Let me jump in, Keith, here. First of all, second hour, we're talking to the Smalleys about fighting for your marriage when your wife is fighting you. It's almost like, being able to fight for your marriage when the other person isn't on board. And that's one of the things that he will say is you don't push the wall down that she's erected. But there are ways to woo her back. And there, it's not over till it's over. And I hear the pain in your heart. I can hear it. It's palpable. And I want to pray for you. We're going to break here in just a moment, but if it's okay with you, I'm also still going to, you're going to get a copy of the Purpose book. There's been plenty of guys who've read it. It's written to women, but there's so much in there about that internal process. If it helps you, God bless you. And if not, give it to someone. But Father, I just thank you for my brother Keith, and I thank you that he called. And I just pray for every person listening that we together could lift our brother Keith before the throne. And we agree together, Lord, that you are for him, God. And if you are for him, who can stand against him? I pray even now in the name of Jesus that you would go to his wife, soften her heart, and show her and show Keith that this is worth fighting for the kids, for the institution of marriage, for what they've even built. And I just pray that they could unlearn bad habits and relearn good habits. I pray that you'd start to give them both visions and dreams of what is possible when they rebuild and put this thing back together. I pray you'd put a wedge between them and any person or circumstance that lies to them and gives them an easy way out. I pray you'd line their path with people and circumstances that speaks truth over and over and over again so they would be guided onto the path of righteousness, guided onto the path of healing and reconciliation. We pray, God, that you would protect this marriage, that you would heal it and restore it, and you cut off every curse of the enemy, every assignment and scheme set against this couple to divide them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I thank you, and I appreciate it. Mm.
Keep us posted, Keith. I want to know how you're doing, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. I want to talk with Pam. I want to talk with Belinda, and I want to talk with Helen. We can't get you on because we got Jenny Allen coming up next to record an interview, but I am for sure going to revisit this content because I barely touched it. But you three are going to get books because you waited on hold, okay? Pam, Belinda, Helen, you get books. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. When we come back, you'll hear a really gripping interview with Jenny Allen. It was fantastic. Coming up next. Sorry about that. Tripping over myself.
It ain't over yet, it ain't over yet, so move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on, move, keep walking, until the morning comes, move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on, and lift your head, it ain't over yet, it ain't over yet.
I keep playing that song because that's what we need to hear right now, one foot in front of the other. I'm Susie Larson, this is Live the Promise, so I got completely surprised. First half hour, we talked about these four seasons out of my book, Your Beautiful Purpose. The phones lit up, and we couldn't even get to every call. So we're going to devote a whole show to that. Now, in a moment here, you're going to hear my conversation with Jenny Allen about her own preparation for the call of God on her life. Let's listen in. Jenny Allen is an author and a Bible teacher based in Austin, Texas. She lives and serves with her husband, Zach, and their four children, Connor, Kate, Caroline, and Cooper. You can learn more about her on the web. She's got an influencer page on our website, myfaithradio.com. Dear Jenny, welcome back to the program.
Oh, Susie, it's so good to be here.
Well, I treasure your heart, and I love what you're doing, and you need to know I pray for you whenever the Lord puts you on my heart, which is actually more often than you can imagine, and I appreciate so much what you're doing. We always love to start out, though, talking scripture, and I'm wondering if you have a verse that's just been on your heart these days that you can share with us.
Sure. I actually was reading this morning in 1 Timothy, which, as a leader, is a good kick in the hiney. It is unbelievable the expectation of leaders in the church. And granted, I don't serve a ministry that is exactly a church, but it is a ministry that serves the church. And so it was so convicting this morning to read. And I was reading specifically about Paul in chapter 1, verse 12, where he talks about how God deemed him faithful and appointed him to service, even though he was the worst of sinners. Mm. And I just was so comforted by that, because in the midst of all of these high callings of leadership, it was comforting to know, hey, he appointed us, but it wasn't because of our good works. It was because he is faithful. It isn't because we are faithful. So that was encouraging to me this morning.
You know, it really is true, Jenny. We can be a pile of contradictions, truly. I mean, there's moments we have fierce faith, and there are moments where we're coward in fear, and there's times where we're kind and times where we react out of our fatigue or whatever. And it just amazes me that God knew full well who he was getting, and yet he uses us anyway, and I love that about him. I remember just part of your story during one particular season in your life. You were reading that powerful book, Kisses from Katie, A Story of Relentless Love and Redemption, and something sparked in you. Wondering if you'd bring us back to that particular time in your life, where you were at, what was going on, and how God really intervened in a way that maybe surprised you.
Yeah, at that point, my husband and I were in ministry. He had planted a church in Austin, Texas, and it was growing, and we were experiencing great blessing from the fruit of ministry, but also great persecution. And at that point in my life, I was very fatigued from basically carrying the opinions of people around and just trying so hard to, you know, live with everybody's approval and not being able to as a pastor's wife, which I think is pretty common that it's difficult to, you know, juggle everybody's opinions. And so at that point I was just weary. And honestly, I wasn't doing well. I was waking up in the middle of the night, worried and feeling a lot of anxiety. And so I read actually her blog before it was even a book, and I'm on the floor of my bathroom because all my family was asleep. Zach was asleep, and I didn't want to keep him awake. And so I'm just reading it, her blog and her words, and I'm so convicted because this is a girl who's only at the time 23 years old, and she moves overseas to Uganda and starts taking in girls from off the streets and ends up adopting, I think, 13 or 14 of them. And so as her daughters, and I mean, this was a girl that I could relate to. She was from, you know, a great family in Nashville, and she graduated and could go to any college, and she was successful by the world standards, and yet she had kind of forsaken all of that for what God had called her to. And I just got to this point where I saw my sin. I saw how this had stolen the work that God had wanted to do through me, and how this had stolen my joy, how this had stolen my freedom. And I was so mad. I wanted to shift, and I wanted everything from that point on that I did to be for God's approval instead of man's approval. And I wanted to live the things that I say I believe in a bigger way, and not in a more dramatic fashion where everybody can see, because then it would have just turned back into an approval idol, but in my soul every day that I would wake up and whatever he said to do that I would obey him. And so my husband and I began to pray, God, we will do anything. And it was the scariest prayer we ever prayed. We did not know. I mean, we had no idea all that was ahead, but whatever it was, we were in.
Yeah, oh, praise God. And the rest is history. We've had Jenny on a couple of other times, so if you're interested in how that story unfolded, go back and catch the podcast. And, you know, when I'm speaking, Jenny, I often tell women, we as women tend to make two mistakes, I think, in the way of others' opinions. We either hand our worth over on a silver platter and say, here, you tell me what I'm worth because I really don't know, Or it just, in response to being burned so many times, we build a wall so high that we say, I really don't care what anybody thinks of me. But yeah. For the Christ follower, there's a tender toughness, I believe we're called to say, you know what? I'm going to take risks with you. I'm going to love you. You even do have the power to hurt my feelings, but you don't have the power to diminish my worth anymore because Jesus has already done that for me. He's determined my worth. And I think that is required in the day in which we live. And yet, when I talk to leader after leader, day after day on this show, Jenny, the thing that makes people tired are mean Christians who are assessing, who are spewing, who are assigning wrong motives, quick to judge. And somehow, some way, we've got to be able to be loving, considerate, but stay on mission. And I feel like God just did that. He grabbed your face and said, I've got bigger, better things to do. Not to say people's opinions don't matter, but they don't have the power to diminish you. I mean, don't you feel like that? That something just inspired you to walk at a whole new level?
Yes. I mean, I look at the opinions I have to face now, and they're so public.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're not all positive, you know. I mean, I'm leading a major organization, and I'm writing for tens of thousands of people. So you get opinions daily.
Right.
And I've had to learn how to handle that. And I just think how dear of him, you know, early on when I was leading If Gathering, I faced a moment where I disappointed probably some of the people I respect the most. Mm. And it was a misunderstanding. It wasn't intentional, but they were very frustrated and hurt. And I just remember thinking to myself, okay, this really is my worst fear. Like, there's not many people I respect more than these people. And it was pretty awful. I mean, I was pretty ill for a few days. And I read a book called The Tale of Three Kings.
I love it.
In that book, it was so transformational, and the timing couldn't have been better. And so I'm reading this book as I've pulled away from the internet, and some things are kind of blowing up about it. And I pull away, and I'm with God. I'm like, God, how do you want me to walk forward in this? And what I saw through that book was about David and how he never defended his own name, and he never went to his own rescue, and he even held back his men at times from rescuing him. So he basically took it. Like, people were trying to kill him, and people were speaking incredible lies about him and hateful things, destroying his reputation, and he never tried to go correct that. He stood back and he let God defend him. And it was the most painful thing to read, but I decided at that point I would do that I would not defend my name, and I would go and I would apologize and I would do my best to make right, but I wouldn't defend my name publicly or privately. Mm. And I mean, it was the most painful thing, but the most freeing thing that has ever happened to me. And I cannot tell you how backwards it felt from what I wanted to do, which was explain what had happened. And, you know, 'cause I knew if they understood, then it would just, you know, be fine. But instead, I kept my head down and I apologized and I tried to make it right, but I let it be. And I mean, it's so beautiful because God repairs better than we do.
Indeed.
And it was such a lesson in believing God and trusting that his ways are better than our own.
And this is the thing, Jenny, is that especially with people that you respect who are Christ followers, we somehow get it in our heads that we're still not going to have conflict or let each other down. And I think we do this where in even in ministry and church, we still have the hierarchy. We still have the social circles where there's the in and the outs. And I got to tell you, it doesn't exist in the kingdom realm because we need to have kind of an exchange of power. And this happens to people I believe God is getting ready to use mightily, where it's like, I know you respect them, but even so, there needs to be an exchange of power, taking it from them and giving it back to me so you can be free to be everything I intended you to be. I mean, these things happen. The enemy tries to capitalize on them, and yet God still establishes you. And you're walking in a new measure of freedom now as a result, aren't you?
I am. I think it was such a gift to face my worst fears because, I mean, you know, it's kind of like, okay, I can offend and let down and disappoint other people now that I've seen how good he is through it. And that's something as a leader you have to be willing to do and able to do, because you would just shut down at the first sign of it if you can't face it. And I think that was who I was before that prayer. I think I was that girl that would shut down at the first sign of it. So I lived a very safe, very guarded life. And I led from my gifts, but I did it with seven women in my living room. I wouldn't ever even lead in my church. I mean, it was funny how much that had stopped the power of God through my life and through my gifts.
It is. I mean, I relate to it so well. And self-preservation to me is something that's been my default over the years that God has challenged again and again. And he's just said, you know, are you going to play not to lose or are you going to play to win? Because we are in a day where you need to play to win. And I feel like that is you too, hon. You just have a feisty, radical faith. I mean, we might get knocked down, but we're getting back up again. And we're gonna face down those giants, and they're going to be in the land. And I love that about you, Jenny, that you're willing to continue on and continue on. When you talked about, in one of our previous interviews, you were really honest about the enemy's backlash once you stepped out in obedience, once you said anything. I mean, some amazing things happen in ministry, things a lot of, I think, young women dream about happening, with signing with a major publisher, you know, major speaking platform increase, all those things. But with that, what people don't see, who may be jealous of you, who may be trying to find fault because they want what you have. You said some of the worst fights in your marriage, friends betraying you, one of are your kids going through uncommon behavioral issues, out of the blue temptations that had never previously been issues for you, your church seeing more conflict than you'd seen before. And again, I want to just bring this in a bigger context. These are not unusual things for key leaders, and the enemy would love to isolate us, make us feel alone. But in your particular story, Jenny, what were some of the takeaway truths in the midst of that battle, when I'm sure the enemy was saying, go back to Egypt, you're not made for this land? What were some of the truths that got you through?
I've learned to embrace suffering and to believe that it is a gift that keeps my heart pure, because I would, just like every human, I would attach to the successes that God has given me for his glory if I weren't being also beat down by them, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the dark side of ministry and the attacks that many times I can never tell or write about because they have to do with other people that I care about, that those dark, hard things so far have kept my appetite for success or a bigger platform or ministry in its place, because I don't crave that. I don't want that. I fear that. I fear that my soul for that. You know, I remember writing somebody that I respected, and I'll just say who it is. It's Lisa Chan, Francis Chan's wife. I watched Francis at the time that God was kind of giving me more of a public ministry. At the same time, he was kind of stepping away and moving into a really quiet, dark part of the world and in San Francisco, and ministering to really difficult people and places. And he didn't keep just trying to do the next big thing in public ministry. And it was so comforting to me. And I remember writing her, because we had a mutual friend, and just saying, you know, how do you keep your soul in this? How do you not, because I fear if I walk forward in all these great opportunities that God's given me, that I will get to heaven and God says, you know, hey, you got this backwards. You should have been, you know, serving the least of these. And I love that her response was, you just keep holding that tension. You just keep fighting for your soul in it. And and I've never forgotten that. And I honestly daily look at our lives, and Zach helps me and my good friends help me and mentors help me just to say, you know, is this for your glory or is this for the good of people and the glory of God? And this is where he's called me. I can't deny that. And the people close to me can't deny it, that this is where I'm supposed to be today. But I do not sit around and think to myself, you know, this is the pinnacle of ministry. You know, it is in my home. It is to my kids. It is in my church. It is the way I love and serve those around me. It is in my city and community. It's in the places that nobody sees. And I try to keep places that nobody sees. I try to keep places where I am a nobody and nobody cares about my gifts. And because I do believe that through those places, we are, you know, we are keeping our heart pure. Yeah. And so I don't mind suffering, and I don't mind being invisible. And I don't have this belief that the bigger it is, the better it is. But I also don't want to diminish the work that God might want to do. I did that for a long time as well. So I think the key isn't small or big or easy or hard or, you know, secular workplace or, you know, called to ministry in the church. It's just holding it all loosely and saying, God, we want to be where you want us to be. And more than any of it, we want our hearts to be yours. And so help our hearts stay there. So, you know, I think that oftentimes we do crave things that that we think, you know, look important, and yet those are the very things that could steal our souls.
You know, what haunts me is, you know, talking in the Church of Revelation, you have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. You know, strengthen that which remains. Mm. And we are in such a success, celebrity-driven culture that, especially in Christian ministry with Upfront Ministries, we have to live in that tension. And so as painful as it is to have mean people say mean things and some of the behind-the-scenes battles that and misunderstandings, as you say, to wrap our arms around those things, to say, Lord, all of what I do, I want to be an offering to you. And I love that you're wrestling with that, and I wrestle in the same way, and it's in that secret place where we find our soul's strength and identity. Well, I'm talking to Jenny Allen. We need to take a quick short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about an upcoming event. She's coming to the Twin Cities, and I'll be joining her as well. And just talking about how do we live this sold-out radical life, regardless of what other people may think and what they assess of us. More with Jenny Allen in a moment. So glad you joined us today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my dear sister, Jenny Allen. She is really a precious sister of my heart, and we're talking about living for an audience of one. And that doesn't mean we're not considerate of other people. It just means they don't have the power to diminish us. And Jenny, before we get to the conference that's coming up, that I'm excited to hug your neck and see you face to face, tell me this, when you do in this day, at the level of your platform, when you have people who maybe assign a wrong motive or maybe give you a bad review on Amazon, I don't know if that ever happens to you, but that kind of a thing, how do you process it? And do you get there quicker now than you did before when it felt like it was going to pull the rug out from underneath you?
Absolutely. You know, I think that it's training. You know, you've got to build thick skin, but yet keep a tender heart. And so I know for me, I take those things, and I really do kind of consider them, at least for a moment. If they're not crazy, if it feels like there's some element of truth, I don't want to ever be this person that shuts out the critics and doesn't learn from where I could grow and be better. And sometimes it is helpful. And even if they don't mean it to be helpful, it's actually really helpful. And so I don't want to just be afraid of all the critics and block them out. But I do feel like what I do is I take them, I consider them, and then I take them before God and say, God, how are we? You know, do you see anything off in my motives right now? And so, of course, sometimes the answer is yes. And sometimes it's not, you know? And so I think it's just so sweet of God that he is, when he is the most important voice.
Well, Jenny, I'm thinking about that person listening today and just even having us kind of engage in conversation about the behind the scenes battles that maybe people don't see. You know, the old saying is some want the prize or the platform without the process, which is painful. But there are others who deeply so want to serve God radically. And yet they would admit that what we've gone through at times, that self-preservation, the tendency to self-protect, they don't want to go through some of that backlash, but they want to obey God. What word of encouragement for you would you have for that person listening going, I got to be honest, I'm afraid of some of the stuff you guys have walked through, but I don't want to miss anything God has for me. What do you say?
Well, I think for me, I just keep in mind the great need in the world.
Yeah.
And I picture people's eyes that I see when I go to speak or just in my own life personally. And I see this bondage that we have got to, those of us that know truth and that know freedom have got to go give it away. And if you're one of the people that you're like, wait, I'm in bondage, you know, I'm not ready to give that away, I'm barely, you know, free, I would say that becomes your primary goal, that you would be free, that is the desire of God for your life. And that happens as we surrender. That happens as this life grows strangely dim and Jesus grows incredibly dear. And so I think fighting for that and pursuing that freedom. But then for those people that have tasted freedom to some extent, really any extent, because it's a rare thing. And if you know it, you better go fight for the other people that haven't tasted it. And that can look like a million different ways. That can look like using your gifts as an accountant and being excellent at that and helping people with your work and being faithful and given the opportunity getting to minister to people I could never get to, or you could never get to with a Christian ministry role. So I think it is looking outside of the box of what we think Christian ministry is, and seeing that it's all things. It's discipleship. It's to the ends of the earth. It's in the neighborhood and in the parking lot of Target. You know, it's all places, and that you would embrace that and see that people really need the hope that you've been given.
Yeah, good word. And as you said, the need is great, and we each have something in our own hand to offer. And well, I'm so excited that you're coming to the Twin Cities. We've got listeners from all over the country, but we've got a strong network in the upper Midwest. But some are going to make the trek to St. Cloud, Minnesota. And there's a conference coming up titled Thrive, and you and Lisa Turkhurst are going to be speaking. I'll be emceeing, and I'll be doing a short session as well. Talk to us about just the essence of your message, the heart that God is giving you to come with. And you don't have to give it all away, but just give us a sense of what you'll be talking about.
Yeah, I mean, so much of the things we just talked about surrender, about obedience, and then really, too, helping people dream about what it is that's holding them back, and then, two, what does it look like to go forward? Because sometimes we can get free, but we don't know where to go. I hear this all the time when people have read anything, which is the book about surrender. They surrender, and then they look around, and they're like, okay, where do I go now? Mm-hmm. What do I do? And I think that thriving is actually running in the purposes that God has planned for us. Acts 17 says that God puts us in our place and our time, that he determines our boundary lines and the times in which we will live. I mean, and then he says that the reason he does that is so that perhaps people may feel their way to him. And I just think how dear that he sets all of these people in their place so that perhaps people might know him. And we miss that. We miss this greater purpose. And so what happens instead of thriving is we feel small and we feel inadequate and we feel invisible and we feel like we have nothing to offer. And I mean, how funny God must look down and see us and think, girl, I equipped you. I called you. I set you in your place and your time around people that need me. Go, run on, thrive, do your thing. And I just think that is the beautiful thing that we get to be a part of, Susie, is lifting people's heads, not to something, you know, actually completely revolutionary, to something very old and true.
Yeah.
You know, that this is the story we are a part of, and we do not want to miss it. And so that is my prayer, is that people would not just be set free and that they wouldn't just surrender in a deeper way, but they would actually run their race that God set before them. And I think in that, our sin falls off and our joy is found, because we're not just waking up every day and trying to have a quiet time. We actually have to get in the Word, because we are giving him away and we need him with us on this journey that is so exciting but also terrifying.
Indeed. I often say those dreams from God are conceived in intimacy, but they're also achieved in intimacy, because once he gives you your marching orders, you know your dependence on a whole new level. And we need him every hour, every moment. Love your heart, Jenny. Wondering as we wrap up today, if you would pray for that person who feels their heart beating, knowing that there's a whole new gear for them, a whole new level of intimacy, and God's got dreams for them that he wants them to walk out. Would you pray for that person?
Absolutely. God, we come before you, and I thank you for technology. I thank you for the people that are listening right now and that are, God, wrestling with fear and insecurity, and yet, God, you are just aching to set them free. And you want them to know what it feels like to be yours, approved of, loved, set apart, holy and completely right before you, and free to enjoy this life that you have planned out for them by the minute, by the second. You have ordained our steps, and I just pray that they would believe that in deeper ways. I pray, God, that your hand would be on them as they go into their place with all of the many gifts and the story and the just incredible calling that you have given them in their lives. Would they see it, God? The enemy seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And if there is any passion, God, he will do everything he can to put it out. And so I pray that you would protect them from the enemy, that they would go forward in confidence, God, not in their own strength, but in the power of your Spirit that is within them and that wants to move through them and change and touch people's lives. God, we were built for a story. And it isn't a new story. It is an old story that we desperately want to not miss, that we want to be a part of with our few days here. God, would you help us to know how to do that? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Dear Jenny Allen, just love and appreciate you so much. Thank you for the time today.
Susie, you are dear too. Thank you so much for this.
Wow, what great time we've had together here, and I'm going to revisit those four seasons. I can tell we need to do that. Coming up next, you'll hear my conversation with Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. I've actually got them live. We're going to talk about how to fight for your marriage when your spouse is fighting you. Hour two is up next.